which way to turn. You don't know where to scratch or wind. But the truth of the matter is simply this. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Praise your way from where you are. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Are you His people? Praise Him. If you're His people, praise Him. And the Lord will inhabit that place and that situation. And He'll come in and He'll give you peace and He'll give you strength and He'll give you direction. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you discernment. He'll give you power. He'll give you what's needed. Let me rewind. He'll give you what's needed. If you praise Him. We've somehow seemed to have lost the importance of praise and worship. Although most have focused more on worship and should focus on worship. But we've lost the power in our personal lives by praising Him. You do understand the difference. Worship is a deep adoration of who He is, His deity, His majesty. It's an adoration, it's a love for who He is, the essence of who He is. That's worship. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He's the first and the last. All power is His. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Demons tremble at the sound of His name. And He's to be worshipped. Worshipped. But He loves to hear His children praise Him. That's a declaration, a proclamation, a statement of fact of His power and His victories. And it's time that we begin to praise Him more and more and more and more, because through the praising of what God has done in the past, it will cause us to have hope for the future. See, a praise and a declaration of the victories of the past is stirring up in you faith. Skeeter and Duke and I were talking about faith today. What is faith? Valid question. What is it? Hebrews says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We got off into our conversation about how you can pray for more faith and pray for more faith and pray for more faith and even try to believe for more faith. It'll never happen. I hate to bust your bubble. Because faith only comes one way. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Whether it be through song, whether it be through the reading of God's written Word, whether it's the Word through praise, through worship, whether it's the Word through a prophetic word. But the Word of God is what produces faith in you. That faith will empower you. That's why it's important that we grow. You see, when God made man, it says that He dealt to every man a measure of faith. I believe that He put within every person that's ever been born enough faith to have the ability to, when they hear the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit convicts them that I'm a sinner, I need change. I need redemption. There's enough faith that has been placed in us by God to be saved. But from that point, for your faith to grow, you have got to partake of daily bread. You have got to get into His Word. That's why the devil tries so hard and is successful way too much to keep you from having a consistent diet of the Word of God. Because you see, when you're armed and dangerous with the Word of God, you are a threat to Him and to every demonic power of hell. And guess what? That's when you walk through life victorious. And when you've partaken of this Word, a consistent basis, a consistent diet, you get to a place that you learn how to pray. There are certain situations that you know how to pray. I'll give you an example. Well, first of all, the Word of God says this, that if we pray and ask anything according to His will, what happens? We have it. The key is we got to learn what His will is. We've got to know what His will is. Now, I'm going to help you with that. There are some things that we know what His will is. For example, God hates laziness. He does not like a sluggard, a lazy person. We know He wants us to work. We know He wants us to be busy doing. So, I'm unemployed. And I'm praying, Lord, I need a job. I'm believing You for a job. I'm asking in faith for You to help me make the right connection, to knock on the right door, to stand in front of the right person so that I not only get a job, but that You've placed me in such a place that I can be of spiritual significance to somebody on that job. I can pray in faith believing for that job because I know I'm praying according to the will of God. Then there are times that I don't know how to pray. You ever been there? The rest of you lying. There are times that I don't know how to pray. I don't know what the will of God is. That's when I have to get to that place that, like Jehoshaphat cried out, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to ask for, Lord, but my eyes are on You. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You to direct my steps, to guide me down this journey, to help Your will to come to pass in my life. Then there are other times I'll go a little deeper. Scripture says that when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for you. Amen. With groanings and intercessions that can't be uttered. You don't even know what you're praying. Holy Spirit does. I don't have the foggiest idea how I got to where I am. Other than I know this. There's more than one in this room tonight. You're going through some stuff. And you need to be reminded of who you are in Christ. But more importantly, who the Christ is that's in you. We need to be reminded of that. And I want to look at a passage of Scripture. I'm going to read a lot of Scripture and it's going to preach itself. I'm not going to do much preaching. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture and I'm going to ask 10 questions. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Help me, Jesus. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had been taught. And He said unto them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there are many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew Him, speaking of Jesus, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep having no shepherd. So He began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, His disciples came to Him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But Jesus answered and he said unto them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups of on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and one of the fish. And those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. I want you to notice something here, and we're going to read on. We see this situation where there's about 5,000 people gathered on the hillside. Jesus had been ministering. The disciples come to him to stop him, said, it's getting late. Why don't you send these people away, let them go and buy provisions and eat. And Jesus said to them, like he says to us, his disciples, so oftentimes, you give them something to eat. Of course, they were astonished. You know, first of all, where would we get enough? Secondly, that's 200 denarii worth. But I want you to notice something here. Jesus, he sees the overwhelming need. In verse 37, he told them to do it. But the disciples see the impossible. They see this vast group of people. They see what they don't have instead of what they do have that's present with them. Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? Or in other words, what do you have? They told him. Jesus directs them to sit down. I love it any time in the Bible where Jesus has them to sit down. That means he's about to hang out with you, and normally something good's going to happen. That's why it's important that you come and learn to sit in the presence of God, because good things happen in the presence of God. Get ready for the miracle, in other words. So he feeds this 5,000. Then jump down to Mark chapter 8, verse 1. Mark chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude, and this is, by the way, about 2 weeks after the story that we just read. That's what I learned from Mahaley's Bible handbook. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me for 3 days. See, this is a different group, and they have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy all these people out here in the wilderness? Sound familiar? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to them, set them also before them. So they ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. Once again, Jesus sees and recognizes an overwhelming need. The disciples in verse 4, they focus on the problem again. Jesus again asks, what do you have? How many loaves do you have? And they tell him. Once again, Jesus instructs them to sit, have the people to sit down. They do. He blesses the loaves and the fishes. He gives to the disciples to feed the people. They do. When they are all filled, they take up fragments that are left. Now I want you to drop down 2 verses to chapter 8, verse 11. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. Let me inject this right there. This is roughly 2 years into Jesus' ministry after he's began to do the miraculous. And for 2 years, the Pharisees have been observing signs, and they've been seeing him do many, 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 many miracles. Why do they need another one? In fact, they just got through watching him feed thousands of people. Big fish fry. So they're testing him for a sign from heaven. And now pay attention to what happens. He said, but he sighed deeply in his spirit. And he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. That would have been a laugh right there. The disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. That's a slow, gradual change that he's warning them about. Leaven. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. They think Jesus is ticked off. See, he perceived their thought. He knew what they were thinking about not having the bread. Jesus is mad at us because we didn't bring any bread. Can you believe they're talking and thinking like this after what they've just seen with in the previous two passages that we've read? And here's what I want to get to tonight. Jesus perceived and knew their thoughts. And then he asked them 10 questions. He first says, why are you so worried about no food? Tonight you could say, why are you so worried about your situation, your circumstance? Why are you so worried? See, this is a miracle worker that we serve. This is the God of gods, above all other gods. By the way, I might add that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. His ability does not weaken. His desire, his passion does not faint. He's persistent and consistent with both his desire to move and show himself mighty on your behalf and also the ability that he has to do so. So he says, why are you so worried about no food? Then he says, won't you ever learn or understand? You see, they were bad about, as we are, seeing things in the flesh instead of in the spirit. We've got to recognize and embrace the fact that Scripture tells us that we're not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. We've got to be a people that is not governed or our spiritual level dictated by what's going on around us, but what's in us instead that's important. Thirdly, he says, are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Do you remember anything at all? What about the 5,000 men that we just fed with 5 loaves? How many baskets of leftovers were picked up? 12. I fed 4,000 with 7 loaves. How many baskets picked up? 7. And his 10th question is, don't you understand even yet? Church, it's time that we spur one another on into good works in love. It's time that we stir up the gift that God has placed within us to be used mightily of Him. It's time we increase our expectancy level of Him. It's time that no matter what life brings, it's time that we embrace the moment. Learn the lesson that we need to learn there. Be used by God in that situation, however He wants us to use us, and move on. It's time that we remember who He is. It's time that we remember that he has said he'll not leave us. He'll not forsake us. He'll not let us down. He'll go with us all the way to the end. It's time that we embrace the fact that where he says, that which the Lord has begun in you, he will perfect, or he will complete. He's going to finish what he's done in you. If you'll just look to him, lean upon him, pursue him, seek him as a hidden treasure. Scripture says you find him. When you hunger and thirst for him, you'll be filled. The truth of the matter is there's not enough hungry people in the houses of God. There's not enough thirsty people. There's not enough people that are desperate for God in their lives. They want to serve him as a convenience. They want to serve him to look good in the community. They want to serve him at the house because there's good business contacts there that they might pick up some jobs. I want us to get our stinking thinking right. I want us to get our motives right. I want us to have a right spirit in us. I want our outlook to be the way that it should. I want our outlook to be the way that it should, so that we can go forth as a mighty warrior in the army of God, so that we can see the purposes of God perfected in our lives, so that we'll cease to be the devil's punching bag, so that we'll begin to walk and as the victor instead of the victim. Grab a hold of this tonight. Right now, God's word says, and I'm talking to Christians, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mr. Miss Christian, how is your thinking in your heart? Is it a sad sack, woe is me, mumbly, grumbly, griping, complaining, belly aching, criticizing, gossiping? I better stop right there. Or is it, I'm going to bless those that wrongfully and despitefully use me. That ain't fun. I know. I've done it. Didn't like it. But it's what God's word says. To endure tribulation. To run with purpose. To run with passion. To run with fire. To run with the power of God. Because if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. This body. It'll make you be able to go and do things that you could never do and accomplish in and of yourselves. Recognize the fact that in Philippians 4:19, most everybody can quote Philippians 4:19. I'm going to hand somebody a mic right now. No, I'm not going to do that. But everybody knows, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I'm fixing to bust some of your bubbles. The word does say that. But you've got to back up a few verses for you to fully understand what was just said. And here we go. I'm in Acts. Philippians. Verse 15, Paul and Philip wrote this book. Paul writes, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, no Christians, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. That's relevant. We're going to get to it in a minute, because God has established the principles of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Nobody gave concerning giving unto or receiving unto me, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. Listen to this. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Because You were doing what God told you to do and were sowing into these brothers in Thessalonica. Because you were sowing. He says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus. Boy, I got to get some new glasses. I'm telling you, I got a new prescription. I just got to get them. These are failing me fast. Epaphroditus, the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Their needs are going to be supplied and met because they were givers. They were sowers. They were doers. Let me just share with this with you that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, not only spiritually, but materially. God's word says that the results of grace are that you will have what you need on time, every time. God promises not just to meet your need, but he'll give more than your need in Deuteronomy 2, a surplus so that you can be a blessing to others. Amen. So give, learn the law of sowing and reaping. Give generously. Not just your money. It includes money, but it includes your time, your love, your servanthood, your generosity, your kindness, being friendly to people, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Learn to sow into people where you can reap the very things that you sow. That hurts, don't it? Didn't get many amens there. Sometimes our giving and our sowing has to be done sacrificially. Don't read this wrong. I'm not asking you to give more money. Should I? I'm going to share with you the latest miracle. I hesitate to tell you because God hadn't told me what to do with it yet. We had some people walk in the office last week that had been blessed, and they wrote a check to Open Range Fellowship for $160,000. That's why I'm telling you, listen, I'm not saying these things to ask you to give more money. I'm asking you to learn from this so that you can be a blessing and be blessed. Now, I don't know what God sent that money for. I don't know if it's to buy the land next door. I don't know if it's to build the building we've been talking about. I don't know if it's to put a roof on the arena. I don't know if it's to take a vacation. I have no idea. I have no idea why God sent it, but he sent it. And we ain't going to spend one nickel of it till he tells us what to do with it. You see, let that be an example to you on an individual basis. Let God order your steps. Learn to hear his voice. Be generous. And words of encouragement, your giving, your talents. Man, I can't tell you how blessed. You know, my wife had back surgery 2 weeks ago. I've been wearing that Nurse Goodbody uniform. Looking good, too. She's even padded. But y'all have been so kind. In fact, I told Glenda not to be in any hurry to get well because we've been eating good. People have been bringing meals. Holy cow, I got more dishes stacked up over there. I need to get back to you. And I want to thank you for that. But I want you to take this word to heart tonight. Don't be like the disciples and be slow learners. Learn. Learn. Learn the principles of the Word of God, how they work in your life, and to apply yourself into seeking God with all your heart. You'll find Him. You'll hear Him. And He'll use you if you'll do that. Would you bow your heads? Started out tonight, Skeeter began to sing that song, Praise the Lord. I know for a fact, I feel it in my spirit. Some of you are in this place. You say, man, I don't even feel like praising the Lord. Seem like I read in Psalms that we bring sacrifices of praise into the house of the Lord. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise Him. Sometimes you don't feel like praising Him. But the Word says to praise Him. To praise Him. I'm not going to ask you the details of your situation, but we're your family. When one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Tonight, if you're hurting, you're fighting that battle, I want to hurt with you. I want to stand with you in prayer. Believe God to do great things in your life. If that's you, could I see your hand? Anyone, anywhere? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You say, Dennis, that's me. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I want to remind you that the Lord knows exactly where you're at. And in the stories that we read tonight, He was out in the middle of nowhere with seemingly impossible odds. Yet He took what they had and He blessed it and He multiplied it. And it met the needs and there was more than enough. That's what He wants to do in your situation tonight. You talk to Him in honesty. And openness. And if you need to repent of some sins and some things, you take care of that. You do that. And all of you need to call on the Lord. All of you need to reach out to Him and you need to find His will for your life and for your circumstance and your situation. He knows. He knows. Not a person look around, please. No one look around. Young lady, you're carrying the weight of having been sexually molested and it's crushing you. Look up here at me if that's you. Real quick. Yes. Thank you. That's a bruise that has hurt for years. I want you to know He's come to set at liberty them that are bruised. In fact, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, touch this woman. Heal that hurt, Lord. Let her recognize the fact that it's not her fault. And you love her just as much right now as the day she was born. Set her free, Lord. From this weight and this chain and this bondage that she's carried for years. In the name of Jesus, we come against that guilt and that weight and that bondage that's been placed there by the tormentor to the devil to try and torment and ruin her life. In Jesus' name. Set her free, Lord. Perhaps you're in this place tonight. You say, Dennis, I don't know Jesus. I'm lost as a goose in a snowstorm. And if I were to die, I'd go to hell. But I've heard that I don't have to. That Jesus can forgive my sins and help me start over. And tonight I need to ask Him to forgive me If that's you, can I see your hand real quick? Anyone, anywhere? Slip it up, slip it right back down. Yes, ma'am, thank you. Anyone else? This is your moment. This is your time. Anyone else? Say, Dennis, I want to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Very important. The Word of God is so true, so clear, so plain, so simple. He says that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, came to this earth to die in my place, to redeem me back to God, died on a cross, shed his blood, was buried in a tomb, but the grave couldn't hold him. He walked out of there and he's alive today and he loves me and he wants to forgive me. Word says, if I believe that in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, that I'm saved. And so now I want to lead you in a prayer. My prayers can't save you. You must ask with your mouth, believe in your heart, and receive the gift of life. So everyone, would you pray with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I do believe your word that you loved me enough to die for me. But you didn't stay dead. You're alive today. And I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, to be my Savior. Help me, Lord, to learn your voice, to learn your ways, to learn your word, so that I can be pleasing unto you and enjoy the ride for myself. In Jesus' name. You're a Christian here tonight. Many of you have already raised your head, but the Lord just checked me in my spirit a little bit. You're really carrying there's a weight on you that's just about choked you out. You're just about ready to give up. Give God what you do have. And watch him work. You're tired, you're frustrated. You think, I can't do this anymore. But tonight, if you'll reach out to the Lord again. Is that you? Raise your hand real quick. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is what I want to say to you, child of God. Call unto the Lord. He's going to show you great and mighty things. You fight the fight of faith. Don't you let what you see dictate how you believe. Don't you let what you see determine your expectancy level. Walk by faith, not by sight. God does have your best interest at heart. Lord, you saw so many hands go up across this place tonight. They've just been honest and said, I feel like giving up. I don't feel like I can do it anymore. Lord, tonight we pray that once again, Lord, you just touch them, invigorate them with your power and your love. Lord, let them leave this place tonight remembering who you are and that you desire to move on their behalf. That the devil will be defeated. There will be a song of praise. There will once again be triumph. There will once again be victory. In Jesus' precious, precious name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And amen. Let me make a couple of announcements real quick.